Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Every law is an expression of morality because it tells you what's right and wrong. So if it tells us what's right and what's wrong, does this have anything to say about what's right and what's wrong? If this says it's wrong and the law says it's right, which one's wrong? The law's wrong. The law's wrong at that point. You know, it's like Peter and John and the early church when they were beaten and told not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they said, well, you know, obey God or obey man. They said, we think we'll obey God. And ultimately, when it comes down to the word of God or the law of man, we're supposed to obey God's word. Now, at that point, there's no scripture in the Bible that says drive 70 on the interstate. But the law to drive 70 on the interstate is not a violation of any scripture either. So at that point, we are to honor those to whom honor is due and follow the speed limit. Amen. Thank God I hadn't got a ticket for a good while. Not that there hadn't been opportunities, but I do better. I really started doing better when our boys were born. It didn't affect me a lot until they started getting old enough that I knew they could tell what I was doing. But I began to think, how can I tell them to obey me if I'm not willing to obey something I'm told? The only way you can really lead somebody is to know how to follow somebody. And at that point, I thought, when my boys get to be teenagers and I'm teaching them to drive and I don't want them driving like maniacs, they need to have an example of that that they can look at and know that I'm practicing what I preach. You know, there's a minister. I won't call the name. I actually like the minister, and I like the family, but I heard something a while back, and you can't assume who it is. In this scenario with being connected with Raymond, you may think it was the Hagans. It's not the Hagans. But there was one particular son that had some issues in this one minister's family, and I often wondered why, because everything I saw and knew, I thought, it just doesn't make sense. And then I met somebody that lived in his town. And in his town, they said that there was not a police officer around that would give them a ticket. And so that particular minister, in 35 mile an hour, 45 mile an hour speed areas, would typically do 20, 25 miles an hour more than the speed limit. Not uncommon at all. The law didn't apply to him. And right then I went, that's what happened with his son. Because his son thought, the law doesn't apply to my daddy. Therefore, the law doesn't apply to me. I should be a special case. I should be an exception. No, that's really not how it's supposed to work. Can we say amen? Amen. So, but we got to build on the rock. Are we knowingly building on the rock? Or could it be that, again, our own understanding and the traditions that are related to the word are related to what our founding fathers believed, but they're not based on what our founding fathers based them on. They based them on the scripture. We're basing it on what we heard from somebody. We're basing it on whether we like it. That's called opinion, and tradition. And again, I'm not saying, I'm preaching to the choir here. But we've got to understand in our nation as Christians, the only way this nation is going to change is if first the Christians get into the Word of God to see what God says about government and then act on it. Vote in line with it. At that point, that is when the nation will begin to change.
We'll be right back after this break.
Jesus said, I will build my church or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determine their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
You know, Charles Finney, I love Finney. And he was an evangelist during the Second Great Awakening. And one of the things that I really liked about him, he's totally contrary. A lot of theologians say he is possibly the second most effective minister of the gospel after Jesus. The only one being more effective, the Apostle Paul. That from Paul's day, then Finney. Finney was used mightily in the Second Great Awakening. And he didn't believe what most Christians believe about revival. Most Christians believe, revival is a sovereign act of God. God does it at his will. And Finney, in his lectures on revival, he made the statement, he said, this is a paraphrase, a revival is no more a supernatural sovereign act than a farmer reaping a harvest. If you do what God says, the revival will come. And he liked to use the phrase, talked about verses, if, then. In other words, if you do this, then I will do that, talking about from God. And in his chapter on hindrances to revival, and again, this is a little bit of a paraphrase. He said a couple different things. But he basically identified that a hindrance to revival was when Christians did not vote consistently with the Word of God. That would hinder and stop revival. Because his statement was, you can't think that God will not judge you for not voting the way he wants you to vote. In other words, the principles. I'm not going so much into the person, but the policies. Anyway, all right, let's go on. So at that point, it comes to the question, do I know what God says about government? My answer to that was, right now, is, well, I'm starting to learn. I'm looking for it. I'm digging for it. I'm looking to see places that I can find more about it. But I'm going to learn it in the name of Jesus. I don't want to build, I don't want to build on my opinions, and I don't want to build on tradition. I want to build on the Word of God, because that is what will stand. I need to start, or actually, I think we all need to start studying God's Word on government. All right, in our last segment here, in conclusion, going back to Finney's if and then verses. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I can remember the first time I ever heard this passage was back when I was a teenager, about 15 years ago. It would have been back in the 70s. And that was coming out, the 60s, the sexual revolution, the 70s, we had Watergate. We had, I don't know, some of you may remember, we had gas shortages. You could only get gas based on your license plate, whether it was an odd or an even number and so forth. And there were issues. And people were praying for America to be restored. oh, dear Lord, if we moved back to the way the 70s were in morals, we would already think we had a revival. But was praying for it then. And which, let me say something to that. That's the 70s to now. That's about 50 years. And I don't think things have gotten better. And one day I was somewhere and somebody referenced this verse. And I'm kind of, I like to analyze things. I just do. And I thought, well, we've been doing this for 50 years and it's not any better. Now, I'm not the kind that, you know, if it's working really well, well, let's fix it. No, no, if it's working fine, leave it alone. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But at the same time, if it's broke, let's not act like it's working. And so I'm like, it's been 50 years, and things are getting worse. We have to be missing something. We've got to be missing something. And so I started looking at it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now notice on this, first, if my people, that's not all people. He just said, if my people. So, doesn't have to be everybody. Then secondly, if they would humble themselves, pray, seek my face. To that, as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, that's on the increase. There were people who did it then. There are people who are doing it now. And it's increasing. And so, with this, we're doing it. But next, that next phrase. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That won't hurt at all. The next phrase is, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear, forgive, and heal their land. Now, wicked ways. I started thinking about that. And I realized that most of the time when people would start talking about this verse, they would start talking about them folks out there turning from their wicked ways. No, he said, if my people call by my name, humble themselves, pray, and turn from their, got a little too excited there, and turn from their wicked ways. And I started going, okay, what could our wicked ways be? You know, nowadays with, well, you know, oh, well, they're for abortion. Oh, they're for same-sex marriage. Oh, they're for all of these things. You know, that's the problem. Well, that's really not who he's talking to here. He's not talking to those folks about turning. He's talking to his people about turning. And I started thinking, and I began to realize maybe our wicked ways could be leaning to our own understanding and following our tradition.
We'll be right back after this break.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed. Buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
God, I really don't care to study what your word says about government. I'm fine with what I think. That doesn't sound like a humble approach. You know, I'm fine with what people have told me. I agree with them, and they're good people. Your traditions have made the word of God of no effect. We have to turn from tradition, because tradition is ultimately accepting the word of a person over God. God, I don't really need to study what you said because I like what they said. How many of you, don't call any names, but how many of you know churches that function like that? They're good with what somebody said rather than what God said. When it comes to the subject of government, I began to think probably our biggest wicked way that we have to turn from is the acceptance of our own opinions and the things that we agree with about other people and go, God, I really don't know what you say. I think I need to find out what you say. I think I want to humble myself and have you teach me. But see, as long as we don't get there, now I'm good with what I think, Lord. I don't need this. Well, you know, I'm good with what so-and-so says. I don't need this. Well, now, would that approach be humble or would it be closer to being a wicked approach? It's closer to being a wicked approach. It might not be the overt kind. But could we say that could be a little bit more of a prideful approach? And pride goes before what? A fall. Our nation isn't on the rise right now. Our nation, in a lot of ways, and I'm primarily talking about morally, I'm not discussing economics, even though inflation is not good. You know, it always amazes me. Do y'all mind if I just take another little sidetrack here? It amazes me when you get somebody that believes in prosperity for the people. I'm talking about government. I'm not talking about preaching. But people get funny about that too. Oh, that's just making the rich richer. Oh, you know, Reagan made the rich richer. Trump made the rich richer. No. Number one, the rich do tend to get richer because they know more about what to do with money. And we might as well just fess up. Jesus even lamented that fact. He said, the children of this world, when it comes to mammon, money, he said, the children of this world are wiser. Isn't that sad that Jesus would actually call the people of the world wiser than his own people? That's not a compliment. We should be smarter about it. But, going back to this other, the biggest time that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer is in times of inflation. Inflation is the biggest separator of economic groups that there is. Because even the middle class in the times of inflation all are pushed down. In a time of economic recovery or boom, everybody can improve. Now, some may improve faster than others, but during a time period of inflation, more than just, you know, normal, the rich get richer because when you pay more for a loaf of bread, when you pay more for a shirt, when you pay more for a car, that doesn't go to the poor. Now, I'm not blasting the rich or the wealthy, but what we have to understand is economics. But that guy at the bottom, that family at the bottom, who is having prices soar, who is now trying to figure out, how am I going to buy enough groceries and pay for gas this week? Rather than being able to put some money back to try to improve their livelihood, now they're just, how can I make it from week to week? But those on the other end are reaping the benefits of the inflation. That money isn't going out into the air. The rich get richer faster, and bigger separation takes place during times of inflation. But you don't hear anybody on the news complaining about the policies that have created high inflation and how bad it is, how bad those policies are for middle class and lower class people.
We'll be right back after this break.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
But you see, with these, we need to know what God's Word says about this. See, some have said that doubt is temporary atheism. I've seen it quoted and credited to a number of people, so I'm just saying somebody. But wouldn't living without seeking to know what God says about something be the same thing? Wouldn't it be the same to go, well, I really don't care what God says about government? Isn't that kind of a temporary atheism? God doesn't matter when it comes to government. Could we qualify that as being maybe a wicked way? I think so. And so in this, you know, it is imperative that we learn what the Word of God says about government. And I believe that there's going to be a growing hunger for what God says about government and to actually move this nation more into alignment with God. I believe we can all already see it having started. We just have to keep taking each next step, and ultimately, each next step will take us to this book. And what does God say? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your Word. We thank you that your Word equips us for every good work. Help us take our place in turning this nation toward you. Help us seek your face. Help us humble ourselves and not just go by our own opinion or by traditions, but help us desire to go to your Word to see what you say, to submit to you. Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.